thank God for the praise and worship team. And can I get a little bit of cover music? I appreciate y'all. Thank you. Not all of y'all, just Antoine. We thank God for the band. We thank God for everyone here. Thank God that you decided to come out in the middle of, I don't know what this weather is. It's humid and it's wet and it's dreary. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you coming here today. Let us pray. God, in the name of Jesus, beloved, we thank you for this moment with you. We thank you for what you're about to do with our emotions. We thank you, Lord, that in the seat of what we feel, it drives our activity. So if we can line our emotions up with your will and with your word, then we can see better production out of our lives. So God, bless us today as we hear from you to talk about how to receive some relief from our anxieties. We sit waiting to hear from you, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, 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 amen. I'm coming from Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verses 32 to 36, and it says, they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him and began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and keep watch. Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. And today is our first sermon on emotions. Let the church say emotions. Emotions, emotions. And today we're going to talk about relief from anxiety. Relief from anxiety. And before we start each sermon series on this, I need you to do me a favor. Yes, I'm going to do the obligatory church thing. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, how are you feeling? Right. Now, most of the time we give, hey, I'm all right. I'm good. If you get somebody real churchy, amen. Blessed and highly favored. Untouched by the enemy, I am walking on the wings of God. But if you keep doing this throughout these 4 weeks or 5 weeks, I'm assuming eventually you're going to get an honest response. You're going to get an honest response with somebody really telling you how they are feeling, because we want to make sure we are intentionally interactive and communal, because we all experience and project these things called emotions. Emotion is coming from a Latin term called emovere, and it means energy and motion. So it's almost the motion of our feelings coming to pass. And there are five major emotions we can tie into our life. There's sadness, there's happiness, there's fear, there's anger, and there's surprise. And today we're going to deal with an element of fear called anxiety. Let the church say anxiety. Now, anxiety is apprehensive uneasiness or nervousness over an impending or anticipated ill. Now, this is not fear, false evidence appearing real. This is something is going to happen, and I'm feeling some way about it. Everybody got me? So worry tends to be in our heads, but anxiety shows up in our bodies. Worry is verbally focused, while anxiety is verbal thoughts and what I perceive in my mind. Worry may trigger problem solving, but anxiety does not. Worry creates mild emotional stress, while anxiety can create severe emotional distress. What causes us to be anxious? Stress at work, stress at home, stress in our relationships. Financial stress, health concerns, global occurrences or political issues, unpredictable world events, social pressure, social and housing related issues, trauma due to racism or gender prejudice, abuse and neglect. Who gets anxious? The National Institute of Mental Anxiety and Health says over 18% of the population in the U.S. has anxiety. That's a low number. Huh, but if I look at the number, that's about 40 million people. Ooh. And then more studies are showing that, sorry ladies, anxiety is more common among women than it is among men. 23.4% to 14.3%. And in your age range, 18 to 29-year-olds, 22.3%. 30 to 44-year-olds, 22.7%. Glory be to God. 40 to 59-year-olds, 20.6%. Yay. So the older you get, the less anxious you are. Is that true? Okay, so the senior saints, no, we still anxious, bless God. So what does the Bible say about anxiety? The Bible says we should pray. Philippians 4, 6 to 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, 7, stop being anxious. Don't shoulder what you're not supposed to shoulder. 1 Peter 5 says casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. When I'm anxious about my finances and my resources, the Bible says in Matthew 6, 25, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body. Because if he clothes the lilies and he takes care of the robins and the sparrows, how much more will he take care of you? But we know the Bible, but how does Jesus handle his anxious moments? Now, before our focus text, Jesus is at his Last Supper, but there's a finality to it because he knows he's going to be leaving his friends. In the supper, he has to tell the group of people, you guys are going to leave me when things get rough. One of you will deny me. One of you will betray me. He knows after leaving that dinner that he has to endure this thing called the cross, which is reserved for those who have committed a crime. And Jesus knows he hasn't done anything wrong. He knows it's a painful way to die. He knows he has to become sin, even though he hasn't sinned. So with the backdrop of all this, he's at a garden called Gethsemane, which means oil press, which makes sense because he's about to be pressed for my sins and your sins. But Jesus does a pattern of things that helps us deal with how we can relieve the anxiety in our lives. And what he does in the text is he talks, and he's transparent. He talks and he's transparent. First of all, he talks and he's transparent with his friends. Let's just straight say friends. So the first way I can help myself to relieve the feeling of anxiety is to talk with friends. He tells the disciples, sit here while I pray, so he's not alone. Then he says to somebody else, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch. Jesus is saying, I'm anxious about what I have to deal with, so I want you near me. I need to be able to share with you how I'm feeling. Stay here with me while I'm in this place of being vulnerable. And one of the biggest reasons why you and I feel anxious is because we lack community. We don't talk to folks when we are going through. It's going to be quiet in here. That's okay. Where are my lone wolves at? There you go. Where are my only children at? Bless God. We are wired to when something happens, because our parents have trained us. Shout out to my mom and dad right here. Our parents have trained us to fix problems on our own. So when something happens, we look internal. Where are my creatives out here? Our creatives have vision and dreams. And so when I want to share with somebody the burden of it, I can't tell everybody about my baby because everybody can't handle what God is showing me. Where are my people who are used to being shy? And social interaction gets on your nerves. When somebody asks you, are you going to go out? You tell them, what time does it start? Which really means I ain't showing up anyway. I'm just being polite. When we're going through, the worst thing that you can do is try to be by yourself. And I know the transparency of sharing my anxious moments does not feel like it's comfortable to any of us right now. But if we look at the Word of God, the Savior of the world, when he was saying, I was feeling overwhelmed unto death, he wasn't talking to himself. He was talking to his friends. So my brothers and my sisters, if you want to learn how to relieve the anxiety of a thing, the first thing you need to do is make sure you have a tribe that you can talk to. And is there a witness in this house that can give God some praise, that you know you got some folks you can call? You know you got some folks you can call? You know you got some folks you can text? You know, watch this. You know the good ones that'll check on you just because. I ain't heard from you in a while. How you doing? I ain't seen you in a while. You ain't posting in a while. You still breathing? Amen.
But we talked about this in McGurk's on Wednesday night. Shout out to everybody that came. And it's this, it's sometimes, it's not that we don't want to tell. Sometimes, if you are in my circle, you need to be able to handle when I share with you that I'm anxious. It could have went this way. Jesus could have shared with them, I'm anxious to the point of death. I'm feeling some kind of way about what I have to do. And the disciples could have said, what's wrong with you? You the Son of God. You're supposed to be strong. What's your problem? You turn water to wine, you walk on water, you do all this, and you worrying about this? Come on, Jesus, you got to be better than that. And most times we don't share, even to the tribe that we trust, is because when we take off the veil of being impervious to pain, folks don't know how to handle your wounds. And we need folks around us that if I am anxious and I share with you what's going on, you handle it with care. You handle it with the care that, listen, I am, ooh, brothers will understand this, when I'm taking the mask off, when I'm taking the cape off, when I'm no longer being Superman in the streets and I come home and I let you know what's going on, I need you to cover me. And I don't need you to tell me I should have been strong in that moment. The strong people in the room know we've been strong for so long, sometimes we don't know what it's like to have the need to be weak. And it's something that's strong all the time. What eventually happens to it? It breaks. And some of you are at your breaking point with your anxiety because you have not had a tribe or no fault of your own, whoever you trusted to tell could not handle your brokenness. But let's give God some praise this morning because we are believing right now in the name of Jesus that God will begin to send folks in your life that can handle when you are anxious. And watch this. I know somebody's saying, I got King Jesus. I don't need nobody else. But the Bible also says that it's not good for man to be alone. And that's not just marriage language. That's relationship language. And the best way to start to deal with my anxiety is to make sure I'm talking to my friends. Then the next thing is I need to talk and be transparent with God. Jesus has the moment before the Lord where he is saying this. He moved further away from the friends. He fell to the ground. He prayed, if possible, this hour might pass from me. In other words, I know what your will is, God, but I don't want to do what you assigned me to do because the completion of this assignment is causing me to feel anxious. And I don't want to belabor the point, but my anxiety cannot be relieved if I'm not being honest with God. David, after his sin, said this, it's against you, God, and you only have I sinned. He's being honest. Hannah, when Hannah was asking for a child, she said, listen, God, if you give him to me, I'll give him back to you. She was being honest. The man who had a possessed son said this, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. He was being honest. Are we being honest in our prayer time? Or are we still going around the outskirts of what's really going on? How many drivers do we have in here? Drivers, drivers, drivers. How many drivers? Drivers. Wait, I'm going to tell you something I just saw that was real funny. Reagan raised her hand and said, yes. Sister Mika said, you ain't no driver. You drive, but you don't own no car. Bless God. I'm sorry. Car owners, car owners, car owners. So I need honest response. Car owners, when that light comes on, the yellow one or the red one, how many of you take it to the dealership right away? By hand clap. How many of you wait a little bit to be like, it's going to be all right? How many of you don't take it to the dealership, but you take it to somebody you know that can hook you up with a better deal? Right. Anxiety is the red or yellow light popping up on the dashboard of your life. And oftentimes, when it pops up, we don't take it back to the manufacturer. We try to fix it with every other thing besides what'll work. We keep driving while the red light is on. We keep going while the yellow light is on. Listen, I know I'm hurt come from my past. I know I have anxiety about my future. But you know what? Let me go shopping. I know I got anxiety about this, but you know what? Let me eat this thing that's going to make me feel good. I know I got anxiety about this, but you know what? Let me watch this TV program. Let me release the dopamine in my brain to help me get away from the reality is if I want to really deal with my anxiety, I need to be talking to God. And not the practice prayers that we've heard in the past in our church that worked for that season, but you didn't see Deacon so-and-so behind the veil when he was really talking to the Lord. God, I don't know how I'm gonna pay this bill. I need your help. God, I made some wrong decisions professionally, and now I'm trying to rub two pennies together. I need your help. God, I don't know what I'm going to do with this child that I poured everything into, and this blankety blank is going off the rails. I'm going to need your help. God, I'm anxious about where the world is going, how everything is going to turn out. I need your help, and I promise you that the God that we serve will meet you right where you are, but he can't meet you if you ain't being honest. My emotions, my dealing with anxiety can help if I talk with my tribe. My dealing with my anxiety can help if I'm honest with God. And finally, my dealing with my anxiety can help if I talk to my feelings. Verse 36 says, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet, not what I will, but what you will. Father, I know you can do anything. God, I want you to take this responsibility off of my plate because my concern with it is causing me anxiety. But my response to my feelings is not to stay in my feelings, but to say yes to you. Now, this moment is not easy. In Luke 22, it explains that Jesus is having this conversation, and he is so anxious that he is praying like sweats. Like when he's sweating, it's like drops of blood is falling from his head. So he's in this place of wrestling with knowing what he has to do and not wanting to do it. Remember, anxiety is not fear, something that's not going to happen. Anxiety is concern about what I know is coming that I cannot escape. And he has to get to the point where he begins to speak to his feelings, not what I want, not my feelings, but what your will is. And the final way to get over anxiety is begin to using the word of God, speak to how you are feeling. The Bible declares that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of... Now, is that a phone? What's the storm? Oh, and we just gonna sit here and keep we know nobody moved. Nobody said I trust God, but man of God, I'm not. I got on sneakers, so I know just in case. The pressing in that moment is, what are you saying to how you're feeling? What are you conveying to that voice in your head that tells you you can't? Because I've talked with my friends, I've talked with God. In fact, Holden, thank you. You just revealed it to me. Well, everything else I just talked about was external. I'm talking to somebody else. I'm talking to God. But now the biggest hurdle is, what am I saying to me? Because the friends can't help me and God can't help me. Eventually, the responsibility is on you. If you decide to say, I will live and not die. If you decide to say, fear is not my future. If you decide to say, I'm going to have hope and a better end. And I know you're about to get mad at me with the point I'm about to say, because even though you do all those three things, he still went to the cross. Anxiety is feeling some kind of way about it coming, and I can't avoid it. So I'm not here to give you a bill of goods that says if I do these three things, everything will be okay. Somebody's assignment today is to go through a tough season. The question for us is, how are we going to go through the tough season? Will I go through anxious and with ulcers? Or will I go through getting up after an angel has ministered to me and said, it's not my will, but what God wills for me? Don't leave here believing. Pastor said, if I talk to my friends, if I talk to God, if I talk to myself, everything's going to be okay. It might not be the season for okay. Because once he got up from that moment with God, momentarily they came to arrest him. He had to concretely put into his mind that no matter what, I was not going to let anxiousness eat me up, because I had a purpose to do. If Jesus was anxious, he couldn't forgive the man on the cross. If Jesus was anxious, he couldn't have the wherewithal to forgive his mother. If Jesus was anxious, he wouldn't have the strength to say, Father, forgive them. If Jesus was anxious, he wouldn't have the strength to say, I'm going to give my spirit away so that they can be saved. He would be so worried about self-preservation that he would forfeit his destiny. So what I'm pressing you in this moment, yes, it's real. Yes, it may be coming down the pike. Yes, you have friends. You have a heavenly Father that cares for you. But the best way to go through it is with God. And even if that thing is causing you anxiety, and God is saying, I am not removing that thorn, still go through. Hold on to his hand. Still go through and trust his promises. Still go through and believing his Godhood has not changed just because this season is difficult. Still go through, because there is a purpose behind the pain. Because if he didn't go through, we would not be saved. Emotions. Talk to your tribe. If you don't have one, find one. Be very particular about your tribe. The Bible says he told all the disciples to come with him. He only took three, but he was feeling some kind of way. Let me say that again. All the disciples came. When it was time to have that talk, everybody can't come. Brothers and sisters, use wisdom with who you are vulnerable in front of. Because everybody can't handle your anxiety. Be real with God. Please, please, please. We did dangerous prayers earlier this year. He's heard you. He's heard you. He's heard, thank you for helping me get home safe. He's heard, oh, thank you for the food I'm receiving. I'm not saying don't. I'm saying he knows there's something deeper. And you keep on trying to shirk around it, feeling like, okay, I know God knows my heart. He's going to answer it. Real quick, parents, you know what this is like, because we're experiencing this now. Our children are to the age where I can't force them to tell me what's on their mind. I know something's bothering you, but I can't force you to tell me. But once you decide to tell me, then I can rush in and give you what you need. God is saying, I ain't going to force you to tell me what's going on. I already know. I just need you to trust me in the moment. And when you trust me with the moment, then I can begin to work on a situation. But you trying to hold it, please tell God what's going on for real. If you don't tell nobody else, shut the door, put on some noise so your neighbors can't hear what you're about to say. If you a spouse, tell them you're going out to Starbucks in the car by yourself. Not that I do that, bless God. And then finally, start talking to your emotions. Tell fear, we ain't doing that today. Tell worry, we not doing that today. Tell self-deprecation, I am a child of God. I am not talking myself down off my destiny today. As we stand to our feet, as we stand. If that sermon blessed you today, why don't you give the Lord a hand of praise? Emotions. And let's prepare our hearts for communion. Let's go right into that moment. If everybody can take out their communion sacrament. Come on, get the sacraments out. Get your wafers and your juice out. While we're getting out, some of y'all need to make sure y'all get your cars fixed. Stop playing around with them lights that come on. I think I heard Sister Patricia laughing up there. She, the speed racer for Jesus. If you see her ask about what I just said, she'll explain. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which has been broken for you. Let us eat." Took the cup. Said, "This is a representation of my blood shed for the remission, the removal of your sins. Let us drink." God, we thank you for this moment. Thank you for this communion. God, we thank you that we're doing this in remembrance of you. God, we thank you that you are here in the middle of how we are feeling. Help us, Lord, to see you, love you, grasp hold of our emotions, and find relief for our anxiety. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. All God's children say, amen. Let's give the Lord one more hand of praise.